the one defining moment in the life of God and consequentially in the life of the world. A moment that defines all other moments if we can respond to it. Hear these words from the book that we love, The Bush That Burns and Is Never Consumed. From the prologue of John, verse 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing has come into being. And what has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because He was before me. And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth was given through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And thank you, Epworthians. This is a new word for me, Epworthians. It's like a whole, like, national identity, citizenship. Epworthians, for inviting myself and my family, Kristen, our son Trigvi Jr., and our young daughter Ella to Epworth. I'm told that as long as I preach, I get to stay. So settle in. Though I think our daughter thinks we're staying for a long time, we pulled up into the cottage right down by the beach. And she gets out of the car and looks up and she says, "Daddy, I like our new house." I haven't yet told her that we don't get to stay forever. We have these moments that we live for. Moments that can define our lives. If you look at the brochure, you might be wondering how to say my name. Trigvi is how it's pronounced. But think of trigonometry. Yeah, it's Norwegian. It means trustworthy. And it's been a good name for me as a preacher for the most part. I got my name because something that happened to my father a long, long time ago, a defining moment in his life that's had a ripple effect for generations. My father grew up in a very religiously strict home where faith felt more like a leather belt than it did an invitation to grace and truth. But when he was about 10 years old, he got sent to a camp, probably like a Cranhill or a Camp Geneva, a camp where there's college students that were working. He went to this camp and had a camp counselor who let him shoot baskets on Sunday, hung out with him, was full of life and joy, and there was just something about the quality of this young man that opened up my father to the possibility, even at the age of 10, as a boy, that maybe, just maybe, the gospel isn't just about rules and regulations. Maybe, just maybe, there's something about the quality of what it means to be Christian that feels more like an invitation, feels more like a relationship, feels more like grace and truth than what he had known. It was the moment at this camp that opened up my father to the possibility of life with God. That camp counselor's name was Trigby. And he decided that he was going to keep that moment in his life by naming his first son after that individual who made an impact on his life. And I was the only son between two sisters. I'm the well-adjusted middle child. And so the name went to me. Moments. Moments can stick with us. We can never measure the ripple effect of a single moment in the sea of somebody's life that's consequential. That story of my father, I think, has shaped my life. I don't exactly know how, but I think about it in the work I do at Hope College. You see, I'm a pastor, but particularly to college students, young women and men who are at a crossroads period of their life, 18 to 22 for some of them, 23, some 24, where they're trying to make important decisions about who they are and what desires are going to shape their lives, what moments they're going to pursue. I think about that with a young men that were in a Bible study I was leading this last spring. Young men from the baseball team at Hope College would meet in my study every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. And there was a good core of about 7 to 10 of them, and depending upon what was going on the night before, we'd get 7 or we'd get 10 or 12. But these young men remind me about the moments that can shape us. I think of Jake. Jake is one of the captains of the team and a star athlete and is the possibility of being drafted this year. His whole life is about performance. His whole desire is about winning. Everything he does, his exercise, his diet, his time management, is defined by him performing at a level so that he can win. And I understand that. He looks like a chiseled Greek god. You know, sometimes when you work on a college campus, all you want to do is like hand out cheeseburgers, because they're never going to be more beautiful than they are like right in this moment right now. But Jake's life is pursuing a moment that is defined by winning. Yet I can't help but wonder underneath of that if that what his real desire is isn't just winning, but it's the desire to feel important somehow. Or I think of Austin. Austin is on a pre-med track. His whole life is defined by getting the grade, the moment when he gets his report card and it has all A's. He's the kid that goes to the library early and stays there late. He's the kid that goes to the writing center. He's the kid that reads books on how to read books. He memorizes. He studies. His life also defined by a certain kind of performance in a certain kind of arena. But what defines his life right now is the moment when he looks at a grade so that he can feel successful. That's what's shaping his life. That's what's consuming his time. And I understand that as well. We all want to feel successful. We all want to feel important. And then there's Nick. Nick is that kid who may or may not show up at the Bible study, depending upon what was going on the night before. Nick is the kid who needs to be in Bible study. I love Nick. Nick is the kid that went to college for other things other than academics. He's the kid that went for the co-curricular and the co-ed options. His life is defined by the moment when he can be in a relationship with someone. He wants to feel loved more than anything else. He wants to feel attractive. He wants to experience intimacy. He wants to experience that moment when somebody says to him meaningfully, "I love you." He comes from a family where that hasn't always been what has been on the record player of their home. And so he's chasing these moments, these relationships that can help him feel close to someone. I love Nick. I love his desire to be loved. But like any good desire that God gives us, whether it's trying to win or trying to get the grade or trying to be loved. A good desire can turn inward. It can twist. What Augustine called incurvatus insei, desire turned in upon itself. It's okay. That's just God calling me to tell me to speed this up. Nick wants to feel. Jake wants to feel. Austin wants to feel like their lives matter. And so this time in college, they're spending all their time. I know, Lord, I'm coming. I'm getting to the point. All my time and all my attention goes to this moment, this defining moment that shapes their life. And we know that, don't we? That experience. The moments we chase, the desires that we pursue, those are the things that make up our lives. And one of the things that I'm learning is that as you move through different seasons of life, the moments that you chase change. Some moments become more important than others. The moments that Jake and Austin and Nick are pursuing in college aren't going to be the same moments that they experience when they're like me, a middle-aged man in a minivan with two little kids. Those moments now that I'm chasing are a bit different than just trying to win. Just trying to get the grade. Just trying to feel loved. The moments we are after now, as I get older, are more defining and more important. And I'd like to tell you about one recently that I had. Because it's Father's Day. I want to tell a father's story. My daughter Ella just turned 4 years old about 3 weeks ago. And so when this took place, she's 3 years old. Ella's at that age where I can still hold her with one arm and she can wrap her arms around my neck and just snuggle into that nook. And I know it won't last forever. I know that she's going to grow up and become a woman and she'll leave me someday. But for right now, in this moment, I get this beautiful daughter that I can just hold. I didn't know it when I was a young man, but I don't know if there's ever going to be a better moment than that, when I just get to hold my daughter close. And in this season of life, her dad is, and her mom is her whole world. And we get to kind of shape the rhythms of her life. And one of the rhythms that we get to shape in life is our evening routine. After dinner, there's kind of a time of play, imaginative time where she's drawing or pointing. I know, Lord, I'm coming. We're playing, and then after that time, it's time for bed. And we try to keep the kids on a really good sleep routine if we can, and them on us. But our routine is we'll go upstairs, and I'll pick two books for her to read. Hello Kitty, Bernstein Bears, Llama Llama, Fancy Nancy, Ladybug Girl, Pete the Cat, all the classics. High literature. We read these stories, and then after stories, it's time to brush our teeth, carry her down the corridor, down to her bedroom, we put her PJs on, tuck her into bed, and then we sing a song like this, Jesus Loves Me. Do you know this song? Sing it with me if you know it. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so, little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. You have such nice voices. After we sing this song, I kiss her on the forehead, and then I make a little sign of the cross with my thumb, and I say the blessing of Aaron. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, little one. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you, beloved Ella, so that you might sleep in peace tonight, the sleep of Christ. Amen. And then after that, I turn on the sound machine that gives her little room a sonic landscape of crashing waves or crickets or rain against the window pane. And then I shut off the lights and close the door. And that's our routine. That's what we do every night. Except lately, she has been throwing in a new part of the routine, a new moment. Right before I turn on the sound machine, right before I turn off the lights, Ella has been interrupting our routine with a new question. And she says to me, "Daddy, will you stay with me?" "Why do you want me to stay with you, hummingbird?" is what I call her, because she's so light and active like a hummingbird. "Why do you want me to stay with you, hummingbird?" She says, "I get lonely." I say, "Me too. That's why I sleep with mommy." She says, "I'm scared." I said, "Hummingbird, what are you scared of?" She says, "I'm scared of the dark. Please, please stay with me tonight, Daddy. I don't like to be all by myself in the dark." Now, what are you going to do to that? You do what you're supposed to do. I lie down next to Ella until she's a little bit drowsy, until I can see the eyes start to just go down just a little bit, and she's calm, and I try to quietly sneak up off the bed and close the door. Usually she catches me in act of escaping. She says, "Daddy, don't leave." I said, "I'll be right here, right outside. Close your eyes. You'll be okay." And I shut the door, and usually she falls right to sleep until she wakes up about 5:30 in the morning. But not too long ago, Ella woke up in the middle of the night with a night tremor, terror, 3:30 in the morning, and she erupts into the darkness, screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy!" She's down the hall from us. Kristen half hits me, "You got this." Throw my feet on the side of the bed. I wipe the cobwebs from my eyes. I find my robe. I leave the room. It's all in dark, and I walk down the corridor to a room, hitting a laundry basket that someone left in the middle of the room, saying, "Shoot!" Though I'm pretty sure I didn't say shoot. Until I reached her door and opened it in. And I opened it up. Her still crying out, "Daddy." And right when I opened up the door and stepped into her room, I got one of the best moments that life can ever give you. One of those moments that just stays with you. I opened up her door and stepped into her room and said, "Daddy's here." And she simply said, "Yes." My heart, well, you don't know that you can feel those things, but you do. And I lie down next to Ella, and almost within seconds, she snuggles up next to me, and she falls fast asleep. That's the defining moment I realized that I need to pursue. That moment when my daughter or my son or my wife, those that are closest to me, when I'm close to them and they feel safe and they feel protected and there's utter peace. The moments that I need, I recognize, aren't just defined by winning or getting the grade or just pursuing relationships for their own sake. What I really need is to be in those relationships where I know that in that moment, I belong, body and soul. And it strikes me this morning that that is exactly what we are celebrating today in worship, why we have all come. We're here because we recognize that there is a moment that if we don't recognize, just passes right by our life. The moment when God became one of us. The moment when God took on the time to become flesh so that we won't be alone. The moment when God made it possible to close the gap between heaven and earth. The moment when God put on the robe of flesh and walked down the corridor of time and opened the door to heaven and said to us, I am here. That moment that defines all other moments when God said yes to us. This morning, my friends, we're here to celebrate good news. At some level, we're all afraid of the dark. We're all afraid of being alone. We're all a little frightened of waking up from our sleep, and there's nothing to hope for, and there's no one to love us. But the good news we celebrate today, the good news not only for us, but for the entire world, is that the eternal Word was made flesh and walked among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The good news that this eternal Word is the light and life of the world, the light from true light, and He came to give each one of us not only life, but abundant life, new life, a life that is defined more than just winning, more than just getting a grade, more than just chasing relationship, a life that draws us into new relationship with our Creator, who calls us by name, Beloved. This is the moment when God steps into the darkness, and the darkness cannot, will not overcome it. Some moments are of the quality that they have the power to define all other moments. This moment, what the church calls the incarnation, is one such moment. And if it's true, if it's really, really true, that God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, came into time and space, if it's really true that God entered into human history, this moment has the quality and consequence to define all other moments of our lives. But the question before us is, how will we respond? How will we receive and respond to the God who opens the door of heaven and steps into our darkness, into our crying out, and says yes to us? This moment is an invitation, my friends. And it is an invitation we have this morning, today, to say yes to God and to say yes to each other, to not hold ourselves back anymore from those moments that most define our lives. A life defined by being together. A life defined by being reconciled. A life defined by love. For to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of any man, but of God. All we need to do for that life, abundant life, new life, fresh life, a life that defines all other moments of life, is say yes to the God who says yes to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.